Good evening. Did you enjoy the worship? Amen. Oh, bless God. Who of you understands the anointing? Who of you understands what it means when we talk about the anointing? The anointing is the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit upon a congregation, an individual, a church, a person, a pastor, a preacher, even an object, to empower, to equip, to give victory. Amen. Tonight, while we were praying in that room, the power and the anointing of God came upon me, and something started happening to me. I had a very, very, very supernatural experience. How many of you believe in the supernatural? And I experienced something that I've never experienced before. And I have to believe that if God was willing to do that, then there must be something big that's going to happen tonight. Amen? The anointing is transferable. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The anointing is transferable. So if the anointing comes upon one individual, then God will allow the anointing to go upon another individual. Tonight the Lord put a word in my heart while that anointing touched me. And the word that the Lord gave was that tonight God wants to pour out life. I want to talk to you tonight just a little bit. If I get to my sermon, I get to it. If I don't get to it, then you must just accept what I'm going to share with you now. But I want to share with you about the spirit of death. You might not realize it, but there is a thing called death, a spirit by the name of death. The Bible says, John chapter 10, verse 10, that the thief came to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The spirit of death is not just a thing that comes to fetch you when you're on your last. The spirit of death is something that is very real and that is very busy. And especially in the time that we live in, is very powerful. Because you see, the spirit of death is worshipped in a lot of places. Let's talk about drug abuse. What happens when you have a drug overdose? Somebody help me. You die. So every time somebody plays with drugs, they are calling who? The spirit of death. Every time you abuse drugs, you call the spirit of death, and in a sense, you empower the spirit of death in your life. Let's talk about alcohol abuse. You don't have to raise your hands, but there's a couple of you sitting here. You like to party. You like to drink. You like to drink a lot. And what you don't realize is every time you do that, you are calling the spirit of death, because when you are intoxicated, your judgment is impaired. Have you ever driven behind a drunk man on the highway? Please just wave at me if you've seen that. It's quite a spectacle, isn't it? We laugh at it, but what is with that man all the time that he's on the road? The spirit of death. And you know, the sad thing is, it's not the person that is drunk that tends to be killed in that accident, but the innocent people that get struck by him. Let me tell you one thing. If you like to drink and you like to get drunk, the spirit of death loves you. Because he loves to use you to destroy other people. When you are drunk, you have no boundaries. You will fight anyone, you will say anything, and the spirit of death loves to touch through you. I'm trying to show you that in the society that we live in and the things that we get up to, the things that we do, let's not even go there, but we have to probably touch abortions. How many people in South Africa get aborted every year? You know, shockingly, 2 years ago I was on a radio interview, and the interview was about abortion, and I did some research, and it was probably 3-4 years ago. And at that stage, let's say in 2009, South Africa had the highest abortion rate in the world. Look at your neighbor and say, that's scary. That's scary. Now, who gets worshipped? Who gets glorified every time a child is aborted? The spirit of death. Now, I want to tell you something about this country. If you look at the way things are going right now, the spirit of death is extremely powerful in our country. Because even though people don't realize it, we were talking just now about alcohol abuse. A while ago, I did a sermon about this, and I did some research. South Africa has the highest incidence of fetal alcohol syndrome in the world, which means that when a mother consumes copious amounts of alcohol and then conceives a child and does not stop, then that child grows up with all sorts of defects because of alcohol in their system. Guess who's really touching that child? The spirit of death. Through the mother, the spirit of death manages to touch that unborn child. We live in a country where we give a lot of preeminence and a lot of power to the spirit of death. And I want to remind you that Jesus' words were, the thief, who is Satan, came to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now I want you to listen to me carefully. There's a lot of us that have opened ourselves up to the spirit of death. Maybe through driving drunk. You know, you see it as, oh, you know what, I'm just a little bit tipsy. But there is actually a reason why they say you should not drive under the influence. It has been proven how many times that your judgment is impaired, your reaction time is impaired, and you do foolish things when you are drunk. Raise your hands if you have had the snot beaten out of you when you were drunk somewhere. Just wave at me. Come on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Ooh, half the church. Now let me ask you a question. If you were sober that night, would you still have had the snot beaten out of you? Come on. Would you? You probably wouldn't have done whatever it was that you did that brought some big oak to just doof, sort you out. But you see, the spirit of death was your buddy that night. The spirit of death was just very upset that the oak stopped before panel beating you into the ground. Because he wants to put you 6 foot under. And I want you to understand something. He's not somebody you play with. Because he's very real. And I want to get you to understand something about the spirit of death. He's not necessarily interested in putting you 6 foot under. He's like a cat that likes to play with the mouse before he eats him. What good is it just putting you 6 foot under? It's more fun to watch you squirm when he sucks the life out of you first. When he touches your mind and you begin to battle to remember things, you are confused all the time. You make stupid decisions all the time. Listen to me, death can touch your mind. Or what if he touches your body first? And things begin to go all funny. Things just don't work well. I'll give you an example. Your intestines shut down, constipation. If stuff inside you stop working, it's a big problem. What if he touches your heart every now and then? Doof. Heart attack. Doof. Heart attack. You're going to sit here and say to me, oh, but Rian, he can't do that. No, he can. I think I've shared this before, but I don't think I shared it this time. A couple of years ago, I prayed for a gentleman. At that stage, I think he'd had 4 heart attacks. He came to me for prayer because I prayed for his daughter, and a whole bunch of demons came out of her, and she went and spoke to her dad. And one of the spirits that came out of the daughter, guess who it was? The spirit of death. So she went and she spoke to her father, and at first he was all upset about the whole thing, because Christians can't have demons, wah, wah, wah. But then they sat and they began to think, okay, well, he had his first heart attack in his 30s. His father died at the age of 40-something. His grandfather died at the age of 40-something. He's 50, pushing 51 or 52. Wow, maybe there's something to this. Maybe they better just be prayed for and make sure. So guess what? He comes to see me. He tells me the whole story. He's had so many heart attacks. And the doctors say that he's just, unfortunately, it's in his genes, blah, 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 blah. And he doesn't know how much longer he has to live. I said, okay, well, I hear that, but I think we need to pray, because it could be that there is a curse upon your life. I began to pray for him. Within seconds, he starts having the symptoms of a heart attack in my living room. Is that normal? Let me tell you one thing. If everybody that you pray for has the symptoms of a heart attack, your church will be empty. People will stop going to church. But here's the thing. The Word of God says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, before I prayed for this man, I shared with him the reality and the existence of demons, evil spirits, and curses upon people's lives, especially generational curses, because they tend to jump from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. And I said to him, you know what? It's very possible that something happened somewhere so that somebody gave power to the spirit of death. And because he gained power in your family, he's now jumping from one generation to the next to the next. I want to add that he was the only one of four brothers still alive at that stage. The other three had died of heart attacks. I started praying for him. He gets a heart attack in front of me. Face turns blue. I keep praying against that spirit. What can I do? I keep rebuking the devil. After 3 or 4 minutes, this thing comes out of him. The most wicked, evil, scream, wail, whatever you want to call it, that I've ever heard. And this funny gurgling sound. And the next moment, this man is lying there and he looks normal. The color comes back into his face. I say to him, how are you feeling? He says, wow, he feels completely different. He gets up, he starts moving around. He starts jumping up and down. The story has a much, much better ending than that. You see, he had to go for a checkup because he's got a history of heart problem. He goes for a checkup. They put him through every test they can. Not only do they pronounce him 100% healthy, but they can't even find evidence of past heart disease. Hello? Can somebody please give the Lord a big hand? That man was set free. He was healed and set free. God gave him a new lease on life, but the only way for him to get a new lease on life, he had to deal with the spirit of death. The spirit of death is alive. I know that sounds contradictory, but it's not. The spirit of death is alive, and it is looking for ways to touch people. And if you look at your life, and if you examine your life, I'm sure you will see that there might be areas where the spirit of death has already come and touched your life. Why do you think Jesus makes this statement, but I have come that you might have life and experience it more abundantly? Jesus came to give us the antidote. But if there was no poison, why invent an antidote after all? The antidote is available. Jesus Christ came to conquer the curse of death on the cross of Calvary. He has already done it, but that doesn't mean that you have received it and made it your own. Remember, let me teach you something, and you have to understand this. You shall know the truth shall set you free. Number one, you first have to hear it and accept it. Number two, according to your faith, it shall be given unto you. You then have to have faith in what Jesus has done. Now, here's the problem that we sit with in the church today. A lot of people don't hear the truth because they've never been to the places where this type of truth is preached. And number two, because they haven't heard it, it's impossible to have faith on something you don't know about, is it? So you don't know it and you don't have faith in it, and therefore you never experience it. Salvation is a wonderful thing. But salvation is not just, oh wow, I opened my heart, I invited Jesus in, I confessed my sins, I'm going to heaven one day, yippee. Praise God, salvation is bigger than that. Because salvation is not just a ticket to get to heaven, salvation is, according to the Bible, the good news. I have good news for you if the spirit of death has touched you somewhere. You can be free. I have good news for you if the spirit of death is stealing from you. Jesus did what's necessary. Jesus released an antidote to the power of death. And if you choose to accept it, and if you choose to take it, and if you choose to make it your own, you don't have to suffer under the curse of death any longer. Give you another example. Many, many years ago, a pastor phones me. He says to me, please, I know that you deal with demons and stuff, and I've got somebody in my congregation. I'm sure this woman is totally possessed. I say to the pastor, well, what's the problem? He describes it to me a little bit. I said, all right, I'll go with you. We go pray for her. We get to this woman's house. Her husband opens the door and runs away. You know, that should tell me there's problems coming. It's like all he does is he points to the room. He says, she's in there. Pew! There he goes. So me and the pastor, we walk into the room. I'm expecting a lunatic, but the room is empty. Ah, but there's another door going to the toilet. Obviously, the auntie must be in there. I open the door. I walk in. This woman is standing there. Now, I'm going to try and show you what this looked like. There's the window. She's standing there like this. She's standing still. So I look at that and I say to her, ma'am, are you all right? She doesn't answer me. I try and ask her another question. She doesn't answer me. I walk up to her and I say to her, ma'am, what's wrong with you? She says, can't you see? I said, no, I don't see nothing. She says, my nose grew out and it stuck to that branch in the tree. I'm not lying. I'm so glad you think that's funny. Actually, to be honest with you, I also thought that was funny, but it would have been rude to laugh. You understand? I came there to pray for her. So, I wasn't exactly sure what to do, but I put my hand through there and I said, in Jesus' name, I cut off this nose now, please. It seemed to work because she at least took a step back. And then I said to her, ma'am, would you mind following me into the room? Because we need to talk. And this is how she follows me. And I'm not exaggerating. In fact, I don't think I can do it the way she did it, because we don't have enough time. But she starts walking like this. It took her 20 minutes to walk 2 meters. And I'm not exaggerating. I just left her. You know, I thought, well, let me just see where this goes. Eventually she gets into the room. I have her sit down on the bed. I try and ask her questions, but she can't answer. It's like she's not coherent. It's like she doesn't understand any of the questions. I ask her, is the sun shining? She tells me, there's 5 chairs in this row. You know, it's like the answers that she gives me has nothing to do with the questions that I'm asking her. And I understand now that there is a spirit sitting on this woman's mind confusing her. So I take authority over that demon and I bind the thing, and eventually we start talking. This woman had to be admitted in a mental institution. She was going to be admitted the following week. Her psychiatrist didn't know what to do with her anymore. They decided to put her in some institution, give her a lot of pills and keep her sedated. But the fact of the matter is, there wasn't really much wrong with her, but the spirit of death had come to touch her. He touched her mind. He touched her body. You know, at that stage, for I don't know how many weeks, she had refused to eat anything. She was starving herself to death. Because she had all sorts of 110 reasons why food was going to kill her. Hello? But the spirit of death was there. And I'm going to tell you now why the spirit of death was there. I start asking her some questions. She's a bit evasive at first, but eventually she begins to speak to me. And you know what comes out? It comes out that she did something when she was much younger that had a profound effect on her life. She had an abortion. Something she never told anybody. She never even spoke. Actually, no. Her husband knew about it. She and her husband made the decision together. They were actually married, I think, at the time, or they were dating at the time. There was a problem somewhere, and they decided that the best course of action is, let's just have an abortion finished and klaar. You have to understand something. I don't care whether you are pro or anti-abortion or whatever, but what you do have to understand is that abortion, according to the Bible, is murder. Because you take a life. And when you take a life, you call death. And when you call him, he will come. And the thing is, for a long time, you might not feel his power. Because you see, the devil is not stupid. And this is something that I have to explain to you. The Bible says, give the devil no place, right? Can we agree on that? Give the devil no place. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5 to 7. There is a reason why we are warned, give the devil no place. And the Bible is not written for unbelievers. The Bible is written for believers. You have to understand that. So look at your neighbor and say, that means you. Okay, now look them deep in the eye. Okay, don't look another man's wife deep in the eye. But eyeball them. Eyeball them. And say to them, give the devil no place. Give the devil no place. Why do you think we are warned not to give the devil place? Because he came to kill. I can't put it any simpler than that. He came to kill. She committed an abortion when she was much, much, much younger. The spirit of death came to her. But you see, at that stage of her life, he didn't have to do anything about it. He's already got his place. He's already got his power. And back then, she probably wasn't a threat to him. But as she grew older, and she began to seek God, and she wanted to sort out her life, and she wanted to do the right thing, guess what? It's a good time for him to touch now. You see, you must understand something about the devil. He can choose when he wants to touch you. If you've invited him in, he can lie dormant for a long, long time. But when circumstances are right, when everything is perfect for him, that's when he will rise up and touch. And it's normally when people start wanting to fix their lives that everything starts falling apart. Some of you sitting here, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've even said these words, man, when I was an unbeliever, I didn't have half as much problems. Well, that gives you an idea how many devils you got in your life, doesn't it? Because you stir up a hornet's nest. You see, the thing is, you open a lot of doors for the devil and you think everything is fine. And the devil's not going to touch you while you are his. Remember, I've said this to you before. Satan is not an evangelist. He doesn't want to push you towards church. He wants to take you away from church. So while you are in the world, worshiping the spirit of this world, doing all the wrong stuff, he leaves you alone. Because he can use you. But then there comes a day that you go to some church, The power of God speaks to you. The finger of God touches you. And you go and you do the unthinkable. You give your life to Christ. Now you've upset the apple cart. Now you've become a threat. You are no longer useful to Him. You have become a threat to Him. If you now get filled with the Spirit, if you get all gung-ho and fired up, if you understand what your gifting is, just like David, just like Samson, just like Paul, just like Peter, you can become a serious thorn in the devil's side. So he has to do something to discourage you. And guess what? Ooh, you opened up yourself to lust. You opened up yourself to death. You opened up yourself to addiction. You opened up yourself to the curse of poverty. You opened up yourself to the spirit of delusion. And one by one they begin to touch, touch, touch. And then you sit there in church and you think like, man, I don't know if this is working for me. I think I need to just go back to the way I did things. The church is full of people that feel that way. Because they open doors that have never been dealt with. Firstly, the thief that came in through the door has never been kicked out. And secondly, the door has never been closed. So the thing keeps running away with your blessings. She had an abortion. She called the spirit of death. He was killing her mind. He was killing her body. And slowly but surely, he was killing her. I spoke to her and I said to her, listen, yeah, this is something that you're going to have to confront. This is something God can help you with. Listen to me. If you've opened up your life to the spirit of death, let me help you to understand something. Jesus is life. All you have to do is deal with the death and the life will be there. But let me explain something to you. If I, you can see the floor area in this church. It's a nice big church. Now, Jesus doesn't live in this church. He lives in your heart, right? When we leave this church, Jesus goes with us. It's not like Jesus stays here. He stays in our hearts. But let's just speak this way. Can you see that this floor area is filled with stuff right now? Okay, let's just say there wasn't chairs. Let's say we had boxes and boxes and boxes full of stuff. Okay, let's just think like a 10-year-old stink bombs. We had lots of stink bombs and itching powder. Yeah, I'm thinking like a naughty 10-year-old now. All right, good. We got a lot of stuff in here. How useful is it? Not very. To a 10-year-old, it's brilliant. But to you and I, we can't do much with it. In fact, I can do a lot with it. I'm still young at heart. Bad analogy. But yeah, we got a lot of stuff. But if we could choose between a whole warehouse full of stink bombs and a warehouse full of food or medical supplies, which is better? The food and the medical supplies. But the thing is, you can only have one thing there at one time. If this place is already full of stink bombs, you can't bring the food in here. You first have to take the stink bombs out. Now, it's exactly the same with your heart. You know, people say, oh, but you know what? I invited Jesus in. Yes, there's many rooms in your heart, and some of them are full of rubbish right now. You expect Jesus to make his way in there, but he can't because you haven't taken the rubbish out yet. And Jesus can't fill that place because the spirit of death is filling that one room. Or the spirit of anger is filling another room. Or the spirit of fear is filling another room. As long as you allow that stuff there, there's no place for him. Yes, he can be in your life, but that doesn't mean he's in every area of your life. Come on, be honest with me. Are you going to say to me, can you look me straight in the eyes and say to me, every single area of your life is totally controlled by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ? Explain your anger to me then. Explain some of your irrational fears to me then. Some of you sit here, you have addictions that you can't deal with. Explain that to me then. Because if Jesus was there, his life, you shouldn't have that problem. So I'm not trying to tell you that he's not in your life. I'm trying to tell you that there's areas in your life that he does not control. It's like an apple. You can have an apple that looks beautiful, but when you turn it around, it has a rotten spot at the back. Does that make the entire apple rotten? No. Well, some people will just throw it away. But if you have brains, you just take your knife and you cut out that rotten piece and you eat the rest of the apple. The rest of the apple is perfect. Now that describes a lot of us. We are perfect in a lot of areas. Please tell me we're recording. Okay. We are perfect in a lot of areas, but we got a spot here and a spot there and a spot there that needs to be sorted out. The thing is, you have to sort it out. I speak to this woman about the fact that she had this abortion. I say to her, listen, yeah, have you confessed it to God? Yes, she's confessed it to God. I said, okay, that's good. I said, but I need you to pray about it with me now because we need to renounce the spirit that came in with it. She prays with me, and then I ask her this question. I say, did you forgive yourself? She says, no, she hasn't. I say, did your husband know about it? Yes, her husband knew about it. In fact, he wanted her to have this. I said, have you forgiven him? No, she can't. There's a problem. Because the Bible says, until you do not forgive, the tormentors will come to you. Torment. Does that sound nice? The spirit of torment is a very evil chocho. It'll do whatever it can to bring you down, to upset you, to frustrate you, to give you a hard time. It's very real and it likes to work with the spirit of death. So yeah, we sit at an impasse because she refuses to forgive herself and she refuses to forgive her husband. And the spirit of death doesn't want to leave. So I have to get her to understand that this is crucial. You have to forgive. By the grace of God that night, God gave me the right words. I explained things to this woman and she said, right, I will forgive. She forgave herself. She forgave her husband. She prayed with me again and she renounced the spirit of death that came through the abortion. Her whole body began to go funny. Her voice began to change, like quivering. And something started leaving her. In a twinkling of an eye, she was released and set free. Remember I showed you how she walked before, like this, sort of hunched over, moving at a centimeter an hour. She got up and she started walking normally. You know what she says to her husband? She says to her husband, listen, yeah, do we still have yogurt in the fridge? The husband says, yeah. She disappears, leaving me and my husband and the pastor to sit there looking at one another. A minute later, she's in there with a yogurt. She polishes it. She gets up. She walks out. She goes and fetches another one and she makes herself a toasted cheese salmi. She hasn't eaten in months because the spirit of death wouldn't let her eat. But when he left, his power was broken. Her mind came back. Guess what? Her mind never went anywhere. Death was just suppressing it. Is the spirit of death real? Yes, he is. Does he touch people? Yes, he does. Is he looking for opportunity? I can say Eddie's brother once made a statement and he said, the devil has to work hard. It's his job. Yeah, makes a lot of sense. It's his job. He did come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he's going to be looking for opportunities to get to you, to steal from you, to kill and to destroy. And the thing is, in our country and in our society and in the time that we live in, we are giving this thing an enormous amount of power. And then we also give him power through the things that we say. How many of you know that our tongues, we've been speaking about this, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Look at your neighbor and say, your tongue is a lethal weapon. Ooh, for some of you, that's very true. For some of you, that's very true. Now, let me help you to understand something. One of the ways we give the spirit of death power is like, oh, I hate my life. I don't want to live like this anymore. You make me sick. I wish I was dead. Or I wish you were dead. At that moment, you don't realize what you're saying. But what you are saying is calling something. Do you hear me? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And they that use it will eat its fruit. Now, death responds to what we say and sometimes the way we say things. You might not realize it, but sometimes the things you say over yourself is the reason why your life goes nowhere, because you call the spirit of death. If you say something like, oh, I'm too stupid, I'll never understand these things, the spirit of death comes and touches your mind. In an area of your mind, you become stupid. I'm not saying that you are stupid. I'm simply saying that you allow that thing to touch you, and in that area, you become stupid. Sometimes it's not you. Sometimes it's people speaking things over you. Like, oh, you're so stupid. Why can't you ever grasp anything? It's not true. You grasp most things. It's just this one thing, but then somebody has to go and say something like that. And guess what? That thing comes and touches you there. But what did Jesus come to do? Jesus came to bring life. And he came to bring life more abundantly. Tonight the Lord wants to give life. Everybody here needs life. And listen to me, I'm not talking about everlasting life. I trust and I believe that you've already received that because you understood the gospel and you invited Jesus into your life. But that doesn't change the fact that somewhere along the line, you have opened the door for the spirit of death to come and touch you. And if the spirit of death has been touching you, then you need to be set free from that spirit of death. Again, I want to say to you this. If this room is packed full of boxes of oil or boxes of stink bombs or whatever the case might be, and we would love to have something better in here, we first have to clear the area. Because we can't have both. You can't have both death and life. If you want the life, you better deal with the death. Because life is available to you. Life is available to all of you. But ultimately, if you've given power and given place to death, you better kick him out first. What is one of the first things that happened because of man's fall into sin? Death. Before Adam and Eve sinned, nobody was supposed to die. I can't explain to you how things would have worked because it never happened that way, but apparently death only gained power over mankind after we fell into sin. He got the ability to touch our bodies because of sin. But he got the ability to touch a lot more as time progressed because of what we do, because of how we do things. John chapter 10 verse 10, the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Listen to me carefully, that's why he came. If you invited him, he's still working against you. Doesn't mean that he's trying to take your life physically. He could be trying to take your life spiritually. He could be trying to take your life emotionally. There are a lot of things that he can touch. If you give him that power. But you don't have to. Let's look at the other side. But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So the way I see it tonight, you have two choices. And you know what choices are about, right? Choices are there so that you can make one. Here's your choices. You either continue the way that you are, suffering death in certain areas of your life, or you understand the truth. Jesus has already dealt with the problem. There is an antidote to the poison in your life. If the poison of death has touched your mind, you can receive the antidote from Jesus today. If the poison of death has touched your heart, you can receive the antidote from Jesus today. If the poison of death has touched your body, Jesus is the antidote. If it's touched your finances, Jesus is the antidote. I'm not going to get into it today, but next week we will look at this. I preached this November 2011 as part of a different series, but because it fits in, yeah, I'm going to share it with you next week. It's the curse of poverty, part two, and it deals with gambling and putting your faith in the spirit of luck and chance. It deals with people that believe in good luck charms, etc., etc. Anybody here that likes to just throw salt over the one shoulder or... You know, some people, you know, I've actually met some of them. They will not step on a threshold. They have to jump over the threshold because apparently when you step on it, it's bad luck. Or the black cat. You know all about the black cat, don't you? You see, what we don't realize is there's a spiritual link in all of these things. And if you do this, it calls something into your life. Bible says, according to your faith, it shall be given unto you. Every time you do that, you have faith in something other than in God. Guess what? That causes big, big problems. But I'm going to share that with you next week. I don't have to go there now. Next week, we'll deal with it. Jesus came that you might have abundant life. Abundant life is here. Abundant life wants to touch you. Abundant life is available to you. It's never far from you. The question is just, are you willing to let go of the death that right now is taking its place? And you see, the thing is, you can. I don't care if it is because you had an abortion. I don't care if it is because you like to abuse alcohol or you've been into drug abuse or you've done the type of things. Let's talk about something else. Something that's not even related. Reckless driving. Oof. I think if there's one area where we are the capital of the world, it must be reckless driving. You know, come on. Have you seen the way some people drive? Let me tell you what I saw the other morning. I'm taking my kids to school. On my way to school, there is a blind turn, you know, like a blind turn to the right. Of course, because it's a blind turn, there's a solid white line that goes along there. You literally can't see what's coming. If as you go around this corner, this clown comes at probably 140 kilometers an hour and he just insists on going right and he's going to pass all of us into the turn. Can he tell who's on the other side? No. And you know, the sad thing is he's not the one that's going to die. The poor oak coming from the front is going to have a big shock, pull his steering wheel somewhere and roll his car and die. And the other oak will just speed along and nobody will know the difference. But God and the devil will know. But who is he calling while he's driving like that? He's calling the spirit of death. Now I want to talk to you, some of you young people here. And some of you older people that used to have fast cars when you were younger. How do you drive? Do you take chances? Do you like to speed? Ooh, let me share this with you. Many years ago, I'm praying for a woman. She was full of devils. Took me three full nights to cast all her demons out. I lost count how many we cast out. It was over 100. To make a long story short, God was actually quite good that night. I cast out a whole bunch of devils and we sort of, I'm giving her some time to rest because, you know, it's quite taxing on you when all these things leave you. And while she's lying there, her right foot begins to twitch first. And then it begins to shake. And it doesn't stop. I say to her, what's happening to you? No, she doesn't know. So I say to her, I'm sure this is some chocho charging up. So I put my hands on her right foot and I say, I take authority over this demon. Whoever you are, in the name of Jesus, speak to me. The thing starts laughing. Who are you? No, it's the spirit of death. Why are you here? I'm going to kill her. How are you going to kill her? Oh, she likes to speed. I'm going to take her life. I sit in her right foot. Have you ever heard we say that somebody has a heavy foot? When you have a heavy foot, you have called the spirit of death to come and sit on that foot. I saw it with my own two eyes. And I actually had to cast him out of her right foot. You know, when the spirit came out, she confessed to me that there were days, she drove a very fast car, that there were days that she liked to go 200, 220 to pick up the kids from school. Hello? She was running late. Apparently you need prayer. Yeah. I see a couple of people smiling here. You probably all need prayer. Let's be honest. They say speed kills, does it? You can argue this thing any way you want. If your tire bursts at 200 kilometers an hour, you're gone. Oh, okay. Oops. Yeah, you need prayer. You have to stay. Your family has decided you can't go home. You're staying for prayer. Yes. But the fact of the matter is, when you do that, even though in a thing, you know what, a lot of the times we think to ourselves, but you know, nobody sees it. I want to help you. There's no such thing as nobody sees it. The spirit world sees everything. And if you give them place, it's cause and effect. They've got it. They start taking it. You call them, they come. You like reckless driving, you like to cut in front of people, you like to speed, you like to overtake on white lines and all of that type of stuff. You know what? There's a reason why we have rules and laws in this country. It's to protect innocent people, including yourself. And every time you blatantly disregard that, you must understand there will be consequences. You call the spirit of death will come. But remember, he doesn't have to take your life in an accident. What if he actually wanted power in your finances? What if that's the place that he knows he's going to bring you to your knees the quickest? Well, you see, here's the thing. You're calling him. He can choose where he wants to use his power. Or what if he wants to touch you in the area of infertility? Do you know how many people I have prayed for that have had the spirit of infertility? Now, listen to me carefully. All of us, the way God created us, we have the ability to bring forth life. Hello? The fact that you're here means you must understand that concept. We can create life. Not really create, we can bring forth life. Life is created by God. But sometimes, because of the things that we've done and the things we've been exposed to, the spirit of death touches in that area and people can't have children. I wish I could bring all the people here that we've prayed for at these meetings and prior meetings that had what was deemed to be infertility problems. That never had any infertility problems. It was the spirit of death that touched either the husband or the wife in either the womb or let's just call it the loins. And because power was given to the spirit of death in that area, he would not allow life to come. He stopped it. And when the power of Jesus touches there, death goes, life comes. Life is restored. Amen? Talking about death. There might be people, yeah, you tried to commit suicide. When you were young, feeling depressed, upset with the world, maybe you did it to just get some attention. Maybe you didn't really want to commit suicide. You thought, you know what, my parents need a wake-up call. They need to understand that they're upsetting me and they're treating me unfairly. And, you know, there's too much schoolwork, etc., etc. Let me just pop a bunch of pills and get some attention. Fine. I'm sure you got some attention. But you did not just get the attention of your parents. You got the attention of something else that did not go away. The spirit of death is there. Every person that ever tried to commit suicide is walking with the spirit of death. If God did not allow him to take you through the suicide, that's wonderful. But don't think he disappeared. Because all he's doing now is he's looking for all the other avenues in your life that he can touch and suck the life out of you. And if you've tried to do something like that, then I want to say to you that you are very blessed that you are in this church tonight, because then you can, for the first time, confront the spirit of death and tell the stupid thing to leave. Now, I actually want to end off with a scripture. I'm going to find it for you quickly. Comes from the book of Deuteronomy. Now, one thing you have to understand about the Israelites, they should have been very, very, very blessed. And I'm not saying that they weren't, but in a lot of areas, they definitely weren't. If you look at a lot of the curses that is written in the Bible, those curses were spoken over them. Now listen to this. Deuteronomy chapter 30, and I'm reading from verse 19. This is God speaking. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God and listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God says, if you will choose life, I will give you life, and you will live many happy years in the land that he destined you to inherit. In other words, he will make sure that you enter your destiny and be blessed. But yet something you have to understand. There is a reason why some of you tonight is going to have to choose life. Because by your actions you chose death. I know some of you sitting here and you're saying, Rion, you must be crazy. I've never called the spirit of death. That night you borrowed your dad's car and you did 220 on the highway. You called him. No, he didn't take your life because God didn't allow it, but you called him and he's come. Hello? That night that you came back from, I don't know the local clubs, yeah? But back in my day, we used to go to Ballinapoli, we used to go to Masquerade, we used to go to Top Club, we used to go to White Horse. Some of you used to go to Grab a Granny, what was that place called? Yeah, there we go. Presley's, yeah. Oh, and some of you used to go to Navio Cellar. Some of you still go there. I want to see you all for prayer. Okay, now, here's the thing. You have a nice night. You pop one beer after the other. Okay, you people don't drink beer. It's like double brandy and Coke. What do people drink in this area? Tequila. Gin. All right, you oaks are into the hard tech. Anyway, you're drinking, 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 having a good time with your friends. But later on, you're going to get in your car and you're going to drive home. Now, the road doesn't have that many bends. That's just the way your eyes are working now. It's like left, right, left, right. The people driving behind you think, oh, this is very funny. Look at this idiot. He can't even drive. The devil thinks, oh, this is brilliant. You've called me. Now live with me. If you call the spirit of death, listen to me. He loves to come. Because the one thing Satan doesn't want you to have is life. Satan doesn't mind if you exist. And you see, that's the problem with a lot of people, even Christians. They exist from day to day. They go from one day to the next day to the next day with no real hope that everything's going to change or anything's going to get any better. It's just, oh, I just need to get through this day so that tomorrow I can do the same thing. If your life is like that, probably the spirit of death is with you. He doesn't want you to have life. The word of God says Jesus wants you to have abundant life. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, I know the thoughts I have for you, or the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope, to give you a future. In other words, God wants you to live a prosperous life. In fact, God commands you in His word to choose life. Yet we sit with churches full of dead people. There's another way that you choose death. I actually want to talk about that before I stop. Mr. Vicky, were you listening when I was speaking about the alcohol? I'm just checking. The Holy Spirit gives life. There's a lot of churches that will not allow the Holy Spirit to move because they don't like the things that happen when the Spirit of God begins to move. You must understand one thing. If a river runs and you jump into that river, it's going to seriously influence you. Has anybody ever tried to walk over when I was younger, we used to go and fish a lot. And we used to go to the Vaal River, and there was a couple of places my father used to go to. I can't remember the names, but there were a lot of areas where the streams were not that deep, and you could actually walk across. Now and then, when we went to the Vaal River, and it had been raining, the river comes down a lot heavier. And so the power of the force of the water is a lot stronger. And so you can go there the one time and you can actually walk across quite easily. But when you go there the next time and the rains have fallen, suddenly that water, it's pushing. And we used to love to try and walk over back at that stage because we would see who could make it the furthest, because that water is going to take you. You are going to fall. Now, when you go to a church and the river is moving, the river of life, it's going to have an influence on you. We might not all have exactly the same influence, because your need at this point in time and my need at this point in time might be different. But the thing is, you're going to see the power of God touch people. So some people don't like that, and it's like, oh, no, I don't want this. I want nothing to do with this. When God comes to give life and you don't accept His life, then by deficit, you have chosen death. Do you understand? And some people need to be set free from that. You know, you must take into account that Jesus made the following statement. He said, every sin that man does will be forgiven them except one. The one that blasphemes the Holy Spirit. And the context in which he said that after the Pharisees looked at what Jesus did when he cast out demons, and the Pharisees said, but this is the work of the devil. In other words, the Holy Spirit was manifesting, but they said it was the devil. I want to tell you that still happens today. Sometimes when the power of the Holy Spirit comes into a church, people jump up, you take this devil stuff away from me. I don't want it. If you don't know that you know that you know that it is the devil, rather just keep quiet, or you will bring a curse upon your life. Hello? If you don't know, just zip it. Keep quiet. And the way the Holy Spirit works, I know I've said this to you before, but it doesn't always have to make sense to you. It has to make sense to God. And because it doesn't make sense, we're like, but this can't be right. Says who? Are you God? That you should judge what He does and how He does it? How many people, if Moses had to go to the people before he split the water? If Moses had to go to the people when God spoke to him and God said to him, listen, you take your staff, touch it, and the water will split. If Moses went to the Israelites, how many Israelites would have believed him? Not one of them, because it had never happened before. And because scientifically it's not possible. Okay, they wouldn't have known that, but we know that. It can't happen. Who gave us science? God. Science. Who made the elements? God. Who put them in their respective proportions? Who decided that water would be H2O? Okay, man gave it the letter H, the 2 and the O, but God said that's the way it is. God gave it. If God gave it, He has power over it. Amen? Let's imagine you are building a house. You are not the first man that came up with this whole building thing. It's somebody else, but it doesn't matter. You're building this house. Because you are building the house, you can choose what you want to do with it. If everybody in your neighborhood builds a house that's 3 meters by 6 meters by 2.5 meters high, and you decide to build one that's 20 meters by 50 meters by 3 meters high, so what? You're the builder. Guess what? God is the builder. Some houses he wants to build this way. Some houses he wants to build that way. In some churches he wants to work this way. In some churches he wants to work that way. If he chooses to override the laws of science, he's still the creator. He can do whatever he wants to. Amen? You know, the Bible has been proven right. It has been proven that the sun had to have stood still when they work out time. I don't know if any of you have ever read this, but they were doing calculations, I think it was at NASA, trying to figure stuff out. And every time they got the wrong answers. And they couldn't fathom why this happened. They were out, I think, like half a day or a quarter of a day or something like that. And nothing that they did, all the supercomputers were just smoking and hunting on, and they couldn't prove why this was. And then the one man there that actually went to church, remember that, but listen, yeah, the Bible says God made the sun stand still for the exact amount of time that we're missing. Science has proven God made the sun stand still. You see, the sun might be going around the earth at, what, a quadrillion kilometers an hour or something stupid, but the finger of God doesn't care how fast it goes. If he puts his finger there, it's going to stop. God can do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants. He doesn't have to ask your permission. He doesn't. I'll give you another example. The Israelites are fighting. I think the little place was called Ai or something. Someplace, some Philistines needed to be sorted out. So they're fighting and they start losing. Then God says to Joshua and somebody else, listen, yeah, go and lift up Moses' arms. As long as his arms are in the air, you will win. Does that make sense to you? But the moment they raised his arms, the battle turned and the Israelites won. Does it make sense? But did it work? Why? Because God's in charge. God is in charge. There's a story in the Bible, I think it's Elijah. The water's poisonous. The people can't use the water. They can't put it on their crops. God speaks to him and God says to him, listen, take a new basin, make it full of rock salt, take that rock salt, throw it in the water, and everything will be fine. Since when is salt an antidote to poison? It's not. But if God says it'll work, it'll work. And guess what? It worked. The salt was put in, the water was fine, they could drink it, everybody was perfect. The Bible is full of things that don't make sense, yet they worked perfectly because God is in charge. So I want to say to you that when the Spirit of God moves, it doesn't have to make sense to you. But just let God be God and put your faith in Him. And you will not believe what God will do for you. I sum up. Tonight God gave a word that He wants to release life. There is a reason why God wants to release life, because we need it, and some people need it more than others, because some people have opened themselves up in some or the other way to give power to the spirit of death. And right now death is running away with the life that should be coming to you. I'm going to show you something again. For some of you that don't realize how this stuff works. Jesus said once that my Father gives sunshine to the good and the bad. He gives rain to the righteous and the unrighteous. So the sunshine and the rain are a sign of God's blessing. Without sunshine, crops cannot grow. Without rain, crops cannot grow. You need both. Can you grow crops in a pitch black cave? No, because they need sunlight. So sunlight is a blessing from God and rain is a blessing from God. Together, they produce abundant crops. Now, if you think of that rain, where does rain come from? It comes from above. Yes, it comes from God, but it comes from above. Now, we've invented this interesting tool called an umbrella. When you walk in the rain, you pop the umbrella and you can be standing in the rain in the blessing of God, yet not feeling or experiencing the blessing of God because something is channeling it away. A curse works exactly the same. The blessing can be falling everywhere, but the curse that you've allowed to come into your life is like an umbrella. The rain is coming down, and it's coming down exactly where you're standing, but because of this thing on top of you, it's being channeled either to the right or to the left or to the front or to the back. But the vessel of God's blessing, the thing that imparts the blessing, the rain that needs to fall, it's not falling on you. Do you understand? And all that needs to be done is somebody must take the umbrella away and then, oh, there comes the rain. But spiritually, it's not always that easy. You first have to understand how these things work and you have to be somewhere where the anointing of God is to deal with it. You're here tonight. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Some of you, you've spoken death over yourself once too often. Some of you, yeah, you tried to commit suicide. Spirit of death got power over you. Some of you, you played around with alcohol. You played around with drugs. It's killed how many people? Guess who's behind it? The spirit of death. You call him, he will come. Some of you, your driving habits. Some of you, your eating habits. Come on, let's be honest. Some of the stuff you put down your throat, it can kill a horse. Come on. You call him, he will come. He will come. Life and death is a choice. If you've made the choice by your actions to call the spirit of death, you have to counter it by choosing life. If you don't choose life, God can't do nothing for you. You have to make the decision and say, I choose life. When you choose life, you give God the right to touch where death used to be. And he must go. Amen. And if you've ever been to a meeting where the Holy Spirit worked and you spoke against him, you pushed life away and you chose death. And then you have to repent. Did anybody learn something tonight? Give the Lord a big hand, please.